Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
True Hauntings is a frightfully good production.
Built on a hill with a panoramic view overlooking Baguio City, the Diplomat Hotel is considered one of the most haunted places in the Philippines. Its history dates back to 1911, when it was constructed as a retreat house by the Dominican Order on a 17-hectare property previously belonging to American locals. Many people state that they have seen headless apparitions inside the hotel during the night when they have been inside the abandoned building. Even when the building was a hotel, employees and guests also stated that they often heard weird sounds coming from the building, especially near the fountain.
Apart from that, people living nearby claimed that they would hear the banging of doors and windows, clattering of dishes and voices of screaming people in pain, torturous screams. The Philippines is a country of long-held superstitious beliefs and curses that can be placed upon them by crossing the dead. Imagine then a place filled with murdered souls that sits overlooking a grand city, a place filled with restless spirits. Would you go there to visit? Hi, I'm Renata.
And I'm Anne. And apparently, a lot of tourists do just that. They go specifically looking for an experience at the old Diplomat Hotel. Let's head on into the abandoned building one last time before it goes under a huge renovation later this year and the ghosts are forced to look for a new home.
Renata have been investigating paranormal occurrences for the past 20 years. They have been at the center of various unexplained phenomena and have witnessed countless ghostly experiences. The duo now turn to high-profile cases that have attracted the eyes of the world. Between the dimensions we see and the dimensions we don't, supernatural forces are at play. Evil lurks within the shadows of our homes and in the darkest corners of our minds. It follows us like a shadow, forever. This is where nightmares become reality. This is True Hauntings.
Welcome back to the studio, Anne.
And welcome back to all our listeners as well. How are you feeling, Renata?
I'm feeling fabulous. How are you?
I'm a little bit excited and a little bit nervous. Mm-hmm. Nervous anticipation.
Patient.
Did you spit out your tooth there?
No.
Oh, good. Yes, tonight is the night that we have our very first tour at the residence.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to it. And we're going to have one of the Maitland Jail officials there just checking out that everything's okay. And they're worried that they're going to make us nervous. And I'm actually not nervous at all about them being there.
No. The guests scare me more than any officials.
And for me, it's more this place has never been investigated. Mm-hmm. It is attached to a very haunted jail. We mm-hmm. we can say that's haunted. Mm-hmm. But we don't know for sure what we will encounter or whether the entities that are there are going to want to interact with us. Mm-hmm. They may just stand back and go, yeah, no, we're not touching you.
Yeah, look, I think it's going to be one of those slow cooking things. It's like a crock pot situation.
Or when you've had something bad to eat and it brews.
It comes out. It's got to brew. It's got to warm up.
It comes out demonic.
It's just got to have its time. So I think the people that are coming tonight are the brave first souls that are going to come in and stir up all of the spirits that are there. And now we've been in there for a few times, so we've already been talking to them and going, now, come on, guys. We know you've been hiding here.
Earn your keep.
Yeah. We want you to come through. We want you to be connected. You know, you don't have a lot of time to hide in here anymore, because once they come through and renovate the place, that's it. You won't want to be here.
Yeah, and we've only got this place for a very limited amount of time before it's gutted and turned into a motel, a boutique motel.
Yeah.
So we're trying to warn the spirits.
The weirdest of things. I just can't picture it.
I can, because it's grand. Those rooms are huge. They've already got bathrooms attached to them.
Yeah.
So I can quite easily visualise it being a nice little boutique motel.
Mm. Mm. We won't be able to afford it.
We might. I'm not going to say no. I think maybe what would be nice, I think, is that for the inaugural night where they open it up for the first time, they should put us in there for free.
Yes.
As a thanks.
We'll just put that idea in somebody's head.
Yep. I'm just going to put that out to the universe.
Yes.
That the mm-hmm. people that have worked there and helped bring it back to life, mm-hmm. ready for the new motel and making sure all the ghosts are warned to move on.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, they should reward us.
Now, for anyone who's not quite sure what we're talking about, this is an area of the old Maitland jail that we have been working at for the last 5 or so years, doing ghost tours, ghost hunts, paranormal investigations. Part of the building is now going to be renovated,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to be attached to a new hotel that is going to be part of the complex. So the jail innards, the inside of the jail, is going to remain historic and open to the general public.
So within the
tours,
wall.
Yep.
Yeah.
But there are two areas, the two front buildings that used to be residences, they were the governor's and the lieutenant governor's buildings,
mm-hmm.
are going to be renovated and are going to be part of like 5-star boutique accommodation.
Yeah. They definitely need to give us a free night.
We have experienced what this looks like when we went to Bodmin Jail.
Yes.
And we were at that jail when it was in a state of complete and total disrepair.
Well, you
things
were.
Things were falling down.
You were with your other travel buddy.
Oh, I was, sorry.
That was BA before Anne.
Yeah. And it was a shell. And it did enjoy a lot of people coming through doing ghost tours and the history and all of that. But it's
not making enough money just running ghost tours.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, the other option was to pull it all down, which would have just been a catastrophe. So someone with a deep pocket came in and decided that they were going to make...
I believe it was a Russian group.
Yes, a boutique. I'm not going to talk about that. A boutique hotel and complex. And we did visit it last week, I remember, because I fell over and hurt myself there.
We visited it last week.
I mean, last year.
Hang on, did I miss something?
last year.
I blinked.
And, last year. And it's amazing. It is freaking amazing.
It's too clean for me.
It is.
I like that bit of grit and grime, but we know some people don't because we got a little bit of a negative review about the jail being a bit dirty.
Yes, but obviously they've been to special places overseas.
Yeah, I mean, the jail is spotless. It's so clean and schmick, and they've tidied up everything, mm-hmm. and the jail cells look like somewhere you could stay for a little while, but no.
Mm. Yes, but Bodmin Jail is astounding. And yes, when you throw millions and millions of dollars at something and you can still have that historic part of it sitting there.
Well, they've got a whole section of the jail cells that's been made into accommodation, and yeah. I actually saw that on Sherpa. I love watching Sherpa, and so does my dog Max, because he howls all the way through it. Sherpa is a husky, and his owner Jamie is into ghost hunting, and he took Sherpa, the dog, mm-hmm. and the dogs can stay in the motel with you. Oh. They stayed at Bodmin Jail.
Wow.
And I now have major FOMO that we didn't go there. We've missed out. We should have spent the money on it and stayed there.
It was quite expensive, yeah, Anne. Let me just remind you.
It was about $700 Australian to stay the night.
It was, yes.
I could have taken out a loan. It would have been fine.
I'm running out of those, like, zip and afterpay things. Yeah, I've got so many.
We can only collect so many cans and bottles that we can reimburse.
That's right.
We will do what it takes.
So if anybody wants to fund us a night.
Yeah, become a Patreon. Oh, do you know what I saw on Sherpa the other day? They get Christmas presents and birthday presents and things. He gets so much mail. I'm just like, my God.
The dog gets more mail than we do.
Yeah, he gets chicken balls and fish sticks. Tons of them. And I mean, he does share his hoard with some of the local animal rescues, which I think is beautiful.
It's beautiful.
But somebody sent him a Sony vlogging camera, and I looked it up, and it was about $800 to $900.
Oh my gosh.
What the hell?
That's amazing.
I know. The fans are just so generous.
Oh, yes.
Mind you, we can't complain. Well, we're rattling on. But
we've had some beautiful
gifts sent to us very recently, and we are very, very grateful. If you do want to send something, P.O. Box 2285, Dangar, D-A-N-G-A-R. I think it's 2309 is the postcard, New South Wales. Postcode, not postcard. We love mail. We get very excited.
We gratefully appreciate anything sent to us.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm not asking for a camera, just a postcard would be fine.
Yeah, postcard from where you
live. Although we could do with a Sony vlogging camera. That would be great. But
I'm joking. That would be awesome, though. But to get a postcard from where you live, that would be awesome to send us.
Send it to Anne and Renata. Yeah. All right, should we get on with this show?
Yes, let's get on with this show. We've decided to go somewhere a little bit different. We always seem to, and there are so many stories from England and America. Mm-hmm. They just love their ghost stories.
But they're also well
documented.
Documented, yes. Whereas the international stories aren't. So documented. So it's difficult. Like you found a whole story, but it was in the local dialect language.
Yep.
And we tried translating it, and it didn't quite translate well, so it became difficult. But we'll do our best with this one. It's got a very interesting, dark history.
Yes, it does.
Let's get on with it. Standing outside the fog-covered ruins of the old Diplomat Hotel, I find the eerie vibe hard to ignore as I picture a cinematic vision of a sequel to The Haunting of Hill House and of Bly Manor. For all its paranormal tales of housing wandering spirits, the history of this rundown, charming architectural remains provides a fascinating backdrop to any 8-episode horror series. If you think Ghosts of Dead Priests Walking the Hallways is good enough horror tale fodder, wait till you learn about what transpired inside the walls of the former Dominican Hill Retreat House during the height of World War II. The ghost tally of the Dominican Hill Retreat House increased hundreds of times over after that war. After decades of neglect, the local government of Baguio converted it to become the Diplomat Hotel. There surfaced many unconfirmed stories of mysterious deaths of hotel guests, adding to the horror lore of the property. If the rumours of these guests' demise are to be believed, then the Dominican Hill Retreat House turned Diplomat Hotel has again increased its ghost tally in the 1980s. During our visit, a busload of young students, probably on a field trip, were also visiting the abandoned hotel. Despite a lot of people on site that day, I still found myself entering bare rooms by myself. Inside, I saw traces of the old hotel interior through a decrepit bathtub and touches of the former Dominican retreat house through its olden walls and mossy-covered courtyards. By embracing its haunting atmosphere straight out of a Stephen King novel, the Old Diplomat Hotel is one of the most stimulating places to visit in the City of Pines. History? Check. Good architecture? Check. Heritage? Check. Ghosts? I'd rather not find out myself.
So as you know, Anne, I have been on a bit of a adventure to try and find haunted places around the world that aren't America and England.
Do you guys mind it? Do you mind if there is a lot of America and England stories in there? It'd be interesting to know. Let us know.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you said, it's sometimes quite hard to find information about other places. Or enough information. And I scoured the internet after I saw a story about the Diplomat Hotel. And we have a whole list of places that we're going to research and look at for podcast episodes.
We're trying to be organized.
And this sort of came up and I went, oh, this might be really good. This is interesting. And I really found a little. That's it.
I was relying on you to tell a lot, because there is some interesting history here.
Oh, it's amazing history.
It's had a very varied life.
It's had a violent background.
Yeah.
A very violent background.
Considering what it was meant to be.
Yes. And when you look at the position of the Diplomat Hotel, it sits up on a hill and it overlooks Baguio. And so it is somewhere where people who use this place to hide, I don't think thought that over really well.
But it's strategically a good spot because you can see all around. You could see if the enemies were coming.
Yes, but these people that hid there had no way of pushing those enemies back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you're in a strategic stronghold.
And you can defend it.
And you can defend it like rolling balls, you know, big balls down the hill that are...
Now don't you come up my hill, I'm going to throw a ball at you. Are they those super ping pong balls that bounce high?
No, I've got in my head, you know, like scenes from...
Monty Python?
Yes, probably. But, you know...
Are they hurling cows at them as well and pigeons?
Yes. Well, see, that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I get what you mean. I'm sure our listeners get it too.
These guys would have been literally cowering in corners and trying to get out of the way. And then the people that were the invaders would have just come in and, like, shot them all, which is what they did. They annihilated them all in one spot. And you're going, well, thank you. We don't have to find you. You're all here. We'll just kill you all and we'll take over.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of, oh, thank you, everyone, for listening.
Yep, that's it. We're done now. and there was whales and clattering furniture. So there we go. That's the ghost bits done. Right, shall we move on to the next story? What are we doing next week?
No. But, pardon me.
Sorry, everyone. I hope your ears are okay after that.
Sorry.
That's better. Away from the microphone.
I did find the building when I looked at it and looked at it over the years because, of course, there are many photos. Very intriguing. And, yes, there is an interesting story. So let me get on to that. So in 1911, American friars from the Order of... Like priests.
They brought in their oil vats and they cooked up chippies.
Yeah, priests.
They cooked up priests, okay. We're going off track real quick today.
American friars.
I can't do it.
Of the Order of Preachers, commonly known as the Dominican Order, along with a few Spanish members of the order, they made plans to construct...
Oh, the Spanish got good friars too.
Yes, they... They made plans. Now, this is interesting. They made plans to construct a vacation house for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And the nuns.
Oh, it's their holiday home.
Yes, and the nuns.
Oh, and the nuns. Oh, there's a party going on there.
And it's up on a hill. It's surrounded by bushland, right?
Sacred bush. Hashtag sacred bush.
Surrounded by bushland. And all I can think of is, what the hell? This place was huge.
Yes.
Like, where'd they get the money? This isn't a little shack in the corner.
No.
Where they go off and they pray to, you know, to their gods.
No.
This is a rumpy pumpy place. Far out.
It's a 5-star resort.
I know, right?
Oh.
And this is 1911.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, good on them, but geez.
Obviously short of a penny or two. The poor had to miss out for a few years so they could build their retreat to have a holiday house for the friars and the nuns.
That kind of got me right at the very beginning. I'm not happy about this.
The tears are starting to roll already.
So there's the first layer of
filth,
of ghosts.
The poor people that starved to death while they built their holiday home.
Oh dear. Oh, see, no one tells you history like we do. Let's face it.
That'd be a great TV show. Could you imagine us saying that Ghost Granny's real history of the world? That is a TV series. Somebody come and sponsor us. Produce that shit. That's really good. We need a T-shirt. Yes. Ghost Granny's real history of the world.
So this was 17 hectares, which is quite a nice property here. And it was purchased from the Americans who were already living in Baguio. So the Americans kind of funded it, and the construction began around 1913, and it was supervised by one of the Dominicans. So one of the Dominicans actually created the floor plan and everything, and he oversaw the building. Now, obviously, they were trying to get away then from paying tax.
Oh, and now the truth comes out.
So the order set up a seminary called the Collegio del Santissimo Rosario.
Oh, beautiful.
In June 1915. So we thought, how can we make this a not-for-profit?
And we're into the war era now, aren't we? First World War.
Yes. Yeah. So let's start a school.
Yep.
And have a piece of paper. Tick. It's a school. All right. And problem was they didn't have a high enrollment at all. Now, I kind of wonder, all right, I'm going to – now, anyone who kind of lives around the Philippines, let us know. Was that specific that they didn't have a high enrollment?
They didn't actually want a high enrollment. It was their holiday home. It would be like us going on a our world trip ghost hunting, and we've landed in England for just bash the poor microphone. Just spit the coffee now. Yeah, we've landed in England and they've gone, we've got your school ready to go, 30 students, 5 days a week from 9 till 3, off you go. We're like, oh, no, we didn't really mean it.
Yeah,
we don't actually want to work.
No, we just wanted a piece of paper so we didn't have to pay tax.
Yeah, tax dodge.
Anyway, excuse me, that's my mind going.
So now you've coughed in their ears, you've bashed the microphone, keep going.
So that kind of really only lasted for about 2 years, and then it reverted back to its original purpose, which was a holiday house for the Dominicans. Very nice.
Come on, sister, let's go have a party.
In the Philippines. I wonder whether there was a pool. And a kebab.
Well, they've got a fountain. Maybe they stripped off and danced in that.
So bad.
I'm just thinking of Friar Tuck dancing around naked with a little tonsure on the top there.
You couldn't go into the pools. You'd drown with all that stuff.
We're in a bad way, everyone. Just letting you know. We've had a couple of sleepless nights worried about tonight.
So everything was going really well until the breakout of World War II. Oh, that put a spanner in the works. And then things turned really, really terrible from there. So the holiday house worked for a little while for the Dominicans. And look, I'm sure with the type of poverty that was in the Philippines, they did a lot of good work. So we're having a bit of a giggle, but I'm sure they did a lot of good work.
Are you sure?
Anyway, I'm hoping that was a case. So up until the 1940s, the priests were able to relax, pray and meditate in the house's lovely fountain-splashed courtyards and cool stone corridors far from the crowds of the city below. I'm reading that from one of the pages that I found the information on, and that kind of tells you everything, isn't it? They mm-hmm. splashed fountain splashed courtyards and cool stone corridors. Anyway, that peace was brutally shattered when the Japanese army invaded the Philippines in 1941. That put a stop to whole everything. So the Japanese army landed on Bataan Island, and the American and Filipino forces had to really engage in the Japanese army for defending the township of Baguio. But by early 1942, they were forced to surrender the Philippines to the Japanese. Now, the Japanese during that war weren't very nice people.
No, they're completely different people now. But it's part of our history. Just like we were dreadful to our Indigenous people as well. It is historical. We are only reporting this from a historical perspective. It's no shade on the beautiful people who they are today.
Yes. So the Filipino guerrillas were effective at trying to harass the Japanese army during the occupation of the Philippines, especially around the mountains and the jungles. But when it came to the city and when the forces came into Baguio, they took over the Diplomat Hotel, or what was the retreat on the hill that the Dominicans put up there for themselves. So they saw that, as anyone would, because it is in a strategic position. And they said, okay, we're going in, we're taking over, we're putting down our roots here while we're fighting the war in this area, and this is going to be our place. So the Japanese army took over. And the building was converted into a refugee camp. Now, that meant that anyone that they took as prisoners of war, they would take up to that area and hold them there. Mm-hmm. But the Japanese really didn't take prisoners of war. Let's just remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was something that...
There were some, but they were treated pretty badly.
So let's remember the building wasn't exactly invisible. It does sit on a prominent spot. It does overlook the city. And as I said, it didn't take long for the Japanese to make that building their headquarters. Now, during the following months of the war, it's been recorded that the Japanese forces performed brutal acts on the...
Just trigger warning here, trigger warning.
POWs. And they tortured the nuns and the priests that were there. They decapitated many of them, mm-hmm. and many more other atrocious acts, not only to the priests and nuns, but to most of the refugees that were there.
Yeah.
So it was a terrible, terrible place. So we have this huge layer of horrible stuff that's
open
now gone
wound.
On. Yep. And it's there in front of everyone's eyes. You can see it. I don't know what the township or the city of Baguio was like back then, whether there were any other, whether there were even any other people still within the city walls, or whether it just became, vacated. People just tried to get away as much as they could, but it was terrible. Now, to add to all of this that was going on, when the Americans defeated the Japanese forces, when they did eventually, the Japanese soldiers that had been in the Diplomat Hotel building refused to leave. They preferred to commit suicide. And so you have another layer where those that had been installed in that place...
They were installed through violence.
Yep.
And now they've taken themselves out through violence.
Yep. And that's a pride thing. That was a pride thing.
Well, respect. Lack of loss of faith, face.
Yes.
God, words.
Yes.
So it was called Harikari.
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 Oh, we're just going to bury ourselves in a hole there. Let's just not.
So after the war, the Dominicans went back to the retreat house. How they did that and how they cleared that energy, I guess, through a lot of prayer. They occupied it for a small period of time, and then they sold it to a hotel group in 1972, and it was renamed the Diplomat Hotel. Now, this was a short-lived venture. And in 1986, the hotel closed and it then started to deteriorate. But I'm going to go back to that period because an interesting character turns up.
Yes.
So the building was remodeled and the interior had 33 hotel rooms, bedrooms, and a lot of the unique features remained from the time that it was a part of the retreat house for the Dominican friars. And the hotel was managed by a fellow called Antonio Agpeyoa, who was...
I'm glad you did that one.
Who was an entrepreneur, and he was the largest stakeholder and financial backer of the Dominican Hotel at that point in time. But he was also a famous faith healer and psychic surgeon.
Oh. Mm. Now, he was one of the ones that used to stick his hand into your stomach and pull out bits and pieces with covered in blood and gore.
Mm-hmm.
And he was famous. He had stories done on him everywhere. He was in the newspaper and on the news. And
yeah, so guess what the hotel became? The hotel became this place where people from all over Europe who wanted healing would come and, of course, purchase hotel space, mm-hmm. purchase a room and wait their turn mm-hmm. for the miracle to happen.
Mm-hmm. Until you were called upon.
So he was double dipping.
Mm-hmm.
Not only was he making money.
Literally.
Not only was he making money from the hotel rooms and the accommodation and everything, then he was also making money, or let's say people were donating. Let's mm-hmm. say people were donating for his skill mm-hmm. at actually curing them.
Oh, that noise is one of my dogs. She groans a lot.
So, as you said, to perform psychic surgery, Tony. Pass his hand over the area that was to be operated
they
on.
They wafted it.
Yes. And then an incision would appear and he would use his fingers or a pair of scissors and put that into the wound and grab whatever bit was no longer needed. And then it would instantaneously suture up and look like nothing had happened. A miracle.
Voila!
A miracle. Now, interestingly, Tony needed his own appendix removed at one stage.
Oh, right. That should be an easy fix for him. Mm,
but guess where he went?
The hospital?
Yes. He went to America, to San Francisco.
Oh, nice.
And went to a hospital there.
Nice.
And had his operation there, even though he probably could have performed it himself
He could have.
And there were other psychic surgeons in the Philippines that did all of this.
What, he didn't trust them? He thought they were fakes?
Well, there's a book.
Oh, yes?
There's a book called Looking for a Miracle, Weeping Icons, Relics, Stigmata, Visions and Healing Cures. I need to get that. And he is part of that book, and that was in 1968. Tony was arrested and charged for fraud in the United States.
Oh, so how did he get charged over there?
Well, he must have gone over there to...
to do his
yes,
do his business.
Do his business, because there was a gentleman who actually put in a complaint about it. Now, so this goes back to December the 19th, 1966. He was indicted by a Detroit grand jury on a charge of fraud in foreign commerce. So the indictment stemmed from a Michigan steel worker's visit to Manila, where Tony pretended to mend fractured bones in the man's neck. Now, this man obviously went home, thought he was cured, miracle, everything was fabulous. He did say that he was briefly relieved from pain,
mm-hmm.
but he reckons, looking back on it, it was through suggestion. And they did.
And the mind is very powerful.
Absolutely. They did x-rays on this man, and they found that the bones never healed. Nothing was ever changed in the status of this man's position yep. when it came to his state of health. And so this guy kind of dobbed him in. And
so, I've got a question for you with these faith healers, because there's another one, John of God, which was recently picked to pieces as well.
I always thought he was a snarky little
and like I know
asshole.
Somebody who actually went over there and visited him, and the rigmarole they had to go through was just amazing. But if these healers put their hand into someone and remove a tumour or whatever it is, and that person then goes away and goes, I'm cured, I've got no symptoms, it's all gone,
mm-hmm.
and they do go and get scans and it's all gone,
mm-hmm.
Or they refuse to get scans.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
But they are well.
Mm-hmm.
Then should they be banned? If they are actually people are believing they are better and it actually does through that cure them, what would they have been cured any other way?
You're looking, I don't know, that's a very moral question.
It's a conundrum, isn't it?
It's a very moral question. But when you're looking at one person maybe being healed out of 300,
mm-hmm.
Then that's the issue. Would that person, having gone to somebody else, still had a cure?
Yeah.
Whether it was this person. And, of course, you're going in with great faith that the belief is that this person will cure you.
Yeah.
So it's got a lot to do with the mind of the person who's going.
And I think there's some things that just simply can't be healed. Like if you've got a broken bone where bones are dislodged and things like that, I don't see how that can be done with a psychic surgery. But yeah, well, if you're missing a limb, how can you fix that?
Yeah.
So I think people have to be very careful, but the power of belief is just, what people have done under the name of belief blows my mind. Anyway, sorry, I just one of those little conundrums that run through my head randomly. Yeah.
And, you know, when you're in that state of health, you will do anything to try and get better. Absolutely anything, and I totally understand that. Totally understand that. So just be careful. Be careful who you give your money to.
And it was almost like a cult, this guy.
It was. And that's what these faith healers do. They develop a following. And as you said, they have these huge rigmaroles that you have to go through. Mm-hmm. So they're pumping you up before you get there.
Yep.
And their followers are creating this whole sense of this is going to be such a miracle. You're going to just be so healed.
Yeah, and I know this person was made to wait and wait and wait, and they had to, I'm trying to remember it all, but I think they had to not eat meat or something like that. Mm-hmm. And you just had to wait and hope mm-hmm. that you would be called upon.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the longer you stay, the more accommodation money they're making or, mm-hmm. or whatever it is that you're paying for. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, now, American surgeon William A. Nolan wrote to the AMA, and he said this statement about Tony. He had separated hundreds of patients from their life savings and had cured no one.
Mm-hmm.
So after this, Tony's business had to shut down. And he was unable to pay back his creditors, and therefore the hotel was given back to the government.
Now, so there's another layer of yuck on top.
Yep, yep. And he eventually suffered a heart attack and was diagnosed with a brain hemorrhage, and he died in the 1980s. And he died in 1987 of his ailments.
I wonder if the place is like a portal for this stuff.
Mm.
Not that we're saying that the nuns and priests got up to shenanigans there on their little holiday house, but, you know, if something started up there and then the next layer of yuck and then the next layer of yuck and the next layer of yuck.
Yep.
Is it the location that's drawing it in? Is it a land spirit? Is it a demon?
Wow.
Or is it just human beings and greed?
Yeah, probably the last one. So the Diplomat Hotel stopped operating after Tony passed, and it was briefly off limits. It was abandoned and the place was looted and sacked over and over again. And then the building sustained significant damage during the 1990 Luzon earthquake. Now, there was also a fire incident that happened. And this is when the hotel was still a hotel. Now, several guests who were then staying at the hotel at that point in time were trapped inside and died. And there is also a story about one of the caretakers who, for unknown reasons, and she was a woman, she used to work there
mm-hmm.
As a nurse, and she committed suicide from jumping from the rooftop. Now, there's a big cross that sat on the front of the building, of course, going back to the Dominican times, or as, I guess, reverence to those times. And, that's where she decided to take her life. Let me just see if there is anything else that I need to tell you. So this, as you kind of said in at the very beginning and in our introduction, this has now become a place of... or a draw card for ghost hunters who go into that area, and a lot of people know to send you up there.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of the last moment in time when people will be able to go and visit it.
A bit like the residence,
and
isn't it?
And go inside, because it is just about to be renovated, and it's going to become like an art centre and a place, which is going to be really interesting, what comes out of there. So it's going to be sort of really given back to the people of Baguio, so that people that come and stay at the Arts Centre start to flow their money back into the city rather than be taken elsewhere.
And hopefully heal it.
It's a huge, huge development, and it's been taken on by the National Commission for the Culture and the Arts and the Conservation Management for the area. So hopefully it will, in its regeneration and its new rebirthing, it will have a healing effect, and the art that comes out of it will be healing. Before I finish, there is another thing that intrigues people at Baguio.
I think I know about this. I was amused myself.
Yes. And it is, and you can go and visit it. It's in the Guinness World Book of Records.
I love giant things.
As the biggest 10 commandment tablets in the world.
Dun, dun.
Yes, so you can go and visit the 10 commandments as a concrete tablet.
It
sits there, and you can go and have a picture.
You can sit on it, lay down on it, make love on it. I don't know.
Add another commandment, whatever you want.
Can we take a Sharpie and write an extra commandment?
Now, it was intentionally built, allegedly, to drive away evil spirits lurking around the place that were probably left from, because they're very spiritual people. You know, the Filipinos. So, yeah, it was meant to drive away the evils that would have been left lurking from all of the things that we've just talked about. Yeah,
the big scar.
Yeah, and the record was set in 2011 and it has not been broken up to date. So no one has built a bigger Ten Commandments tablet. There you go, people. There's something to aim for.
Yep. So, you know, you've got in Australia, the big ram and the big prawn, giant potato, which we have visited.
Yeah, the big pineapple.
Yeah, and now it outstrips them all, the giant commandments.
Yes, we could have that somewhere. We could have that in Newcastle. We'll on Strzelecki, on Strzelecki Hill.
We'll make it 1 centimetre bigger. On Strzelecki. Right, okay. All right, do you know what?
Okay, your turn.
I think it's my turn.
Yep.
So, when we're moving in now to the ghost stories, it's one of these topics where you hear it is the most haunted place in the Philippines and most haunted this or most haunted that. And you look at all the layers and layers of horror that has happened in this location and you're expecting lots of reports.
Yes.
Loads and loads of reports. But in nearly every article, it comes out with some people claim to hear peculiar sounds and even see ghosts like the White Lady. Other sources visiting the place take photographs and see silhouettes and strange images. Other reports are banging of furniture, clattering of dishes, noises coming from the ruins, wailing of cries from help from the children, particularly around the fountain area.
Mm-hmm.
That's about all I can find. Mm-hmm. So what I did then is I dug into TripAdvisor.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we always have a lovely time in TripAdvisor.
Oh, we do.
And there are some reports, and I've actually managed to dig up quite a few personal experiences from people who have visited the location. So this one was from at Gavin McGregor, and he said, I was born in Angeles City, Philippines, or Angeles. I just look at Angeles because I'm thinking of Los Angeles. I was too young to remember living there, but my parents and oldest brother have told me stories over the years about how haunted our house was. They saw shadow people peeking at them from around the corner, cabinets would fling open and slam on their own, and worst was when my mum told me that a shadow man appeared in a shower. Terrifying. So that gives you an idea of what the people of the Philippines are thinking with their... I actually thought it was a story about the hotel, but never mind. But it was on the reviews for that.
And they, as we mentioned before, they are very, very spiritual and they have a lot of things associated with the dead.
Yeah. Yep. There was another one who titled their review, interesting, and this is from 2017. We got a cab driver to bring us here, and he was very knowledgeable about this place. So they're probably layering in the stories. You know how it is. It was a monastery, then a school, then a camp, and then a concentration camp. Now, this is the bit of information that I haven't seen anywhere else, and I don't think you've mentioned it either. It was a brothel.
No. What?
It was a brothel and a hotel and a hospital.
Right.
So we got some rumpy bumpy happening there, as you mentioned earlier.
Rumpy bumpy.
I did not see any ghosts, but it sure felt creepy. Be sure to be here before 5 p.m. because it closes at 6 p.m. and the guard will shoo everyone away by 5:30 p.m. Great sunset, by the way.
Yeah. Apparently, I don't know whether you came across this too, but when I was reading some of the articles and listening to some of the podcasts, they do tend to have armed guards at some of these places and they're locked behind gates. And so sometimes they might let you in if they feel okay or you pass them some money.
Mm-hmm.
But after hours, it's all, no go.
Yeah, and then there was another article that I read that sort of basically churned out that same information again. I'm just trying to see if there's anything strange and desperate noises. Apparently, babies and children crying is a common noise that the locals will hear, and they're attributing that to the massacre of numerous children done at this site. So I didn't realise there were children that were massacred there. I thought it was the nuns and the friars.
Well, this goes back to when they were taking people in as POWs, I'd say. Yeah.
Now, this is another little story I found. It was from sixghost.blogspot. One group of students in the 1990s visited Diplomat Hill after their prom. Drinking beer and having fun, they explored the hotel. I mean, what could go wrong with that?
What could go wrong?
They didn't believe that actually anything would happen. A wave of coldness swept over them, and they all saw a female in a white dress floating towards them. This ghostly figure was of average height, and her face was not visible. At first, they admitted they didn't comprehend what was going on. One female in the group screamed and fainted. When she awoke, she acted strangely. She spoke in an odd voice and in a language that none of them recognized. Several members of the group had to hold her down. One student who had a rosary placed around her neck. When she became alert, she asked them what had happened. She was dizzy and didn't remember. Realizing she had been possessed by an entity, they all left quickly. It's now been 25 years since that had happened, and none of them have ever been game enough to go back.
Oh, goodness.
So, look, there's a lot of things that could have been. They're out drinking, probably haven't eaten, up late, they're all hysterical, faints, and immediately they're assumed it's a possession. And anyway, let me see what else I've got. Now, this one is big. You know, I like them big, but this is like a really long story. And I actually found this just at the last minute, as you often do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to admit, I haven't read through all of it yet, so
let's read it together.
It could be shite and we'll just cut it out. I don't know. But I found this website and I forgot about it, where it's People's True Stories.
Mm-hmm.
And I just typed into it and went for a search for it. And sure enough, two stories came up about the Diplomat Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
So this was a Jaded Disciple. A few years back, when Diplomat Hotel in Baguio was not yet open to the public, I and seven of my friends sneaked past security to go spook ourselves out and see things that go bump in the night. It was almost midnight on October 30th, the day before Halloween. The time, the damp, chilly weather, and the fact that we were all sneaking past the guards added to each and everyone's excitement. We took a path on the side of a building near the Diplomat's Hotel main entrance. This was shown to us by one of my friends who had been here previously. Then we had to traverse a steep ravine and climb a barbed wire fence. Oh, that sounds like way too much effort for me. Once in, we all took long breaths of relief because we were able to get past the guards without being seen. Nothing extraordinary happened once we entered the premises. However, they were filled with tension and fear. We decided to enter through the hotel's main doors leading to the fountain to offer prayers to appease the spirits.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
They also walked past the big arch windows towards the door. We noticed another group was also inside doing the same thing and looking for the same adrenaline rush that we were after. We paid no heed and we went our own way. But that immediately means that any noises or anything you hear could be contamination from another group.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. As we reached the old fountain, that's when things started getting weird. I stayed behind. Now, remember this fountain because I've got another story about it.
Yes.
As we stayed behind, the group headed the fountain off of the prayers. I was a little bit skeptical about all of this, so I didn't join them in prayer. As soon as they began praying and offering candles, I felt a chill run down my spine as something cold touched my neck.
Mm.
I had goosebumps all over and sudden heaviness on my shoulders. This heavy feeling, something that felt like carrying a backpack full of school books and then was felt by me all throughout the whole evening. It sounds like something's jumped on their back.
Mm.
I felt nauseous and my head suddenly felt prickling pain as well. At this moment, I ran to join my group as they were about to finish their prayers. I didn't tell them anything because I thought it was just the weather that was getting to me. Boy, was I wrong. The group decided to cover the first floor and ascend to the other floors. Once we checked out all the rooms, as we moved past doors, rooms and hallways, we made our way to the staircase to go to the second floor. There, beside the staircase, was an arch where a door once was. A friend pointed out that a shadow of a big man was reflecting on the walls in front of the arch. No one dared to look where the shadow was coming from.
Oh.
The girls from the group started shrieking and taunting us not to go on with our tour. Don't! Stop! Don't! Sorry. Okay. However, afraid of being called losers or chickens, some of the males in the group urged us to go on. Silly boys. Two male friends and I, of course, decided to check out where the source of the said shadow was coming from as a group made their way upstairs to wait on the landing. As we walked under the arch, a cold swoosh of air welcomed us.
Mm.
This time my friends also felt the same heavy feeling I had felt. Then a mysterious, eerie voice of a man that sounded like a cross between a bad radio signal and a drunken man's slur was heard by us. It was like he was warning us not to go on. We took this warning and didn't go on searching for the shadow's source. As brave as we were, sometimes when battling the unknown, it's best to leave and retreat.
Yes.
Finally, some sense.
That is true.
Honestly, yes, we were scared out of our wits by then. As we joined the other members of our group, Nikki, a female from the group, was heard crying on the last stair before reaching the landing of the second floor. A human's natural instinct is to comfort the sad. The females, being females, huddled around to comfort her. The reason she was crying was unknown because she remained silent for the remaining hours we were there. She later told us she saw a priest staring at her and then vanished into thin air. She was so scared and didn't know how to react. That's why she just cried it out. By now, accounts of what happened to us downstairs were known, but we remained brave to finish the tour we started. We finished going in and out of different rooms until we reached the top where a huge crucifix was. The wind was slightly blowing and the moon above illuminated the crucifix in a way that we only saw in horror films. These made everyone to decide to go back downstairs and stroll around the gardens instead. As we made our way out and reached the hotel's backyard, I noticed I lost my cell phone. Oh, and they've let you know that it's a Nokia 7650. Is that product placement?
There's too much information there.
And its leather holster. Oh, they were chic. They've got a leather holster. My husband used to have one of those. Anyway, it's the kind that used to loop on your belt anyway. So my phone was secured to my belt via a leather belt holster with magnetic flaps. During the whole time, I didn't bother checking messages nor removed the holster from my belt because we were too preoccupied. I started freaking out because there was no way I could go home without my phone. Go home! My parents would have killed me. Also, I was baffled as to how the phone fell off, holster and all, without me removing it from my belt. Apparently, the friars wanted a phone.
That's right.
I decided to go back and search the entire hotel for it. Jeff and Raymond, two of my closest friends, decided to go with me while the rest of the group sat on the benches at the back of the hotel leading to the garden. Jeff, Raymond, and I retraced our steps to retrieve my lost cell phone. We searched high and low but couldn't find it. We scoured the whole place for almost 15 minutes. I gave up because it was getting late and that our friends were waiting for us. We continued the tour by entering a path going to the farther side of the hotel's lot. There we found a wall bordering the residential area behind the hotel. As we circled around it, there was a shrill sound coming from a ringing phone.
Oh.
The monks have learned how to... So the friars have learned how to use the phone. They're sexting the nuns. It's all going to hell. We tried to look for the source of the sound, but to no avail. We reached a huge pine... Words are getting hard. Huge pine tree where... RM, they're referring to another friend, pointed out that there was a silhouette of a huge man, perhaps the same one from the arch, yes, hovering at the base of the tree. As we looked, we saw the shadow vanish. It seemed like it ran past us because we felt a sudden breeze blowing past. We decided to check out the tree. It's a huge Philippine folk huge trees in Philippines folklore mean that it might be the dwelling place of spirits. Mm-hmm. When we reached the tree, another sound from a phone filled the air. We trained our eyes as well to listen to a sudden light emitting from one of the tree's gnarly roots. There before our eyes was my missing phone.
How scary is
out
that?
Out on the tree.
How scary.
How it got there, they don't know. However, we know for sure that no one from our group went out of the hotel building and wandered off to this part of the Diplomat Hotel grounds, let alone snatching it from my belt without me feeling a thing. I'm getting there. As I breathed a sigh of relief, Claire mentioned that the other group we met on our way was nowhere to be seen. As we pondered upon this, we realised that we didn't bump into them for the whole night we were in the building, aside from that moment where we met them as we went in. This left us spooked, so we decided to bugger off. No, to call it a night and leave the hotel. We took the same steep path of going out as the last group member stepped into view. One of the security guards saw us and shone his flashlight on me.
Mm-hmm.
Once the blinding light hit me, the guard took a step back and let out a gasp of surprise. Oh, well done, Renata. You saw the cue that time. If you had seen him, he looked like he'd seen a ghost. Pale face, genuine look of terror, and that he had almost looked like he was ready to pass out. Then as soon as this happened, there came a boisterous sound of laughing coming from inside the hotel grounds. We all looked towards the building and thought that the other group was indeed still inside. Once the security guard got hold of himself for composure, we took the liberty to apologise for sneaking in and scaring him as we stepped out of the ravine's landing. He said that it was okay and that a lot of people do it. He also mentioned that he saw us inside while doing his rounds and didn't want to bother us with our ghost hunting. We were stunned but asked him why he got so scared. He mentioned that when he shone the flashlight at me, he saw a shadow getting off my shoulders and running back into the darkness.
Oh, no.
That's when it hit me and the group members as well. The heavy feeling I felt since we went in was possibly the shadow the guard had seen jump off my back when it was piggybacking a ride on me. Imagine a spirit riding on my shoulders the whole time. This got me spooked out. We were ready to all move out once and for all to get away from this haunted place. We were all we could think of. Without thinking, I jokingly warned the guard not to get spooked again if he saw another group came out. I mentioned that we passed by another group inside on the way. This gave him another jolt of surprise. Imagine the shock that we all got when he said, "Cagagulling."
He said what?
Oh, I really should have pre-read this. It's a phrase in the Philippines language.
Uh-huh.
Which starts off with gaggling. Codin pro nagra. No. I just did my rounds inside. As I told you, I saw your group inside. However, there were no other people inside apart from your group.
No.
So where did the group of people we saw go? Had they sneaked out as well without the guard seeing them? Maybe the guard didn't see them because they went out while he was doing his rounds. Where did the laughter we heard come from? Maybe from a party in one of the houses near the premises, or maybe something else? Well, we will never know. Come to think about it, after what happened, who would want to know anyway?
What a good story.
Isn't it a great story?
A great story. I know, and that, terrifying.
Yeah, and I know that I didn't have a lot of stories to tell, but I thought that was a good one. Let me now, there is another story there, but we might leave that for the moment. The Ghost Hunters International did an investigation at the Diplomat Hotel. And they, you know, went in and did all their stuff. They're doing their EVP sessions. And at one stage, Rob Demarest was up there with, can't remember the other dude's name. And they were doing an EVP session. He's going, "Oh, I just heard something. And of course, we're going to get that later. They had reports from some of the security guards talking about footsteps. They could hear footsteps following them. For me, that's probably their echo. Mm-hmm. They're probably just a bit frightened of that.
Yep.
Ariz, a local guide, said they'd seen a white figure of a lady. Now, that white lady turns up quite a bit in the the summaries of ghosts seen there.
Mm-hmm.
They were talking about an outdoor chapel where somebody had taken a photo, and when they looked back at the photo, there was a woman with a baby sitting on one of the benches. There was tunnels apparently underneath there. Mm-hmm. Ooh, like a tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when they were doing their EVP session on the second floor, you could hear what sounded like men chatting or voices. And then I realised it was dogs.
Oh.
There was, 'cause you've got the town surrounding you.
Yeah.
And there was the noise of dogs barking in the background. And I made a little note here that Rob Demarest said he heard a male voice, and I said it was probably telling the dogs to shut up because you could just hear that's what it was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I'm going to come back to that whole idea of hearing a male voice. Now, one thing that they did notice is that there was some big cell towers in direct line with the hotel. And that lined up to where the outdoor chapel was. And it's believed that high EMF can induce hallucinations.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of EMF spikes around this outdoor chapel area. There was a report of sightings in that chapel area. One of, because I read some of the comments as well from that episode, and one of the comments on there said there is also a wire cross that has been put into the ground near the chapel, which could actually act as a focal point to amplify the signals that were coming through.
Yep.
And that possibly the reason why people were seeing hallucinations in this area was because of this tower.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
But in saying that, that doesn't explain the photo, nor does it explain things that happened before that tower went up.
Yes.
Now, they did find one of the possible tunnels. They sent one of the girls down into it, and she was saying, you know, make a noise if you wanted us to leave. And they heard some little tiny noises, like maybe pebbles falling or something like that, but nothing seemed to be actually there.
Yeah. It's a huge place.
For giant spiders.
Oh, no.
They put the flashlight up onto the wall and there was giant spiders everywhere.
No.
So they hightailed it out of there pretty quickly. Now, they found another tunnel that was pretty overgrown with bush. So they sent the ladder down and the girl's like, going, hell no. So I think Rob went down this time and they were sort of making, looking around, doing EVPs and whatever, and they heard a male voice down there. So Rob's sort of head off in the area to where the voice was coming from, and he's gone, okay, we need to get out of here now. Just trust me, get out of here now.
Mm-hmm.
So they've all quickly got back out. I'm thinking, oh, what have they found? Is it a demon? What is it? Turns out that there was a homeless person living down there. Yes. Now, let's go back and think about some of the reports of things that people have been talking about.
Yes.
They're hearing voices, they're hearing wails, they're hearing cries. Could this be because there is a homeless population that is living in there?
Yeah.
In these tunnels and refuges and abandoned places.
That makes a lot of sense.
It does, doesn't it? Mm. I was really super impressed with their investigation.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked what they did. For me, the EVPs could have been dogs. Mm-hmm. The possibility of these towers that was creating the mind to see things that weren't there.
Mm-hmm.
The voices and things are possibly people that are living on the grounds out of sight, or guards playing funny buggers with people who are doing the wrong thing on the site.
Mm-hmm.
I think there is enough trauma associated with this site to actually have a haunting there.
Mm-hmm.
But is it truly haunted, Renata?
Mm. I would like to think that there is so much residual pain there.
Would you?
I don't like to think, but there is so much residual pain there that I would say there's a lot of residual.
Residual. I would agree. Stuff. I don't know if there's much intelligent stuff there. I think that the traumas, I mean, those spirits would have been out of there as soon as they could get out.
It will be interesting to see the site as it goes into the future. Mm. And
I know Amy's been there from Amy's crib, mm-hmm. so maybe she did an investigation there. I don't know. I'll have to look it up. I just read her little summary. But, I don't know if I'd visit. I mean, if the opportunity arose, I would definitely go and visit, mm-hmm. but I'm not going to go out of my way to visit that one.
Mm-hmm.
What do you reckon?
I'd go if I was there.
Yep.
Absolutely. It would be on my bucket list. It would have to be on my bucket list now. I don't think I would bother going once it's completely renovated and gutted.
Yeah.
I think sometimes they take the soul out of things when they do that.
Yeah.
But it will be interesting to hear whether there are any reports beyond this point in time with that site.
Yeah.
We shall see.
All right. Well, that brings us to the end of the True Hauntings. I hope you've enjoyed it. If you'd like to consider becoming one of our financial supporters and becoming a Patreon, look up Anne and Renata on Patreon, Patreon, and become a Grand Poobah and join our little secret family. We thank you for being here with us, whatever you're listening to us on at the moment. Reach out and let us know if you've enjoyed the episode, or if you've got a place you'd like us to investigate, or any spooky stories you've got, or anything else that you'd like to see Anne and Renata get up to. But next time, we'll see you on the dark side.
Yeah, and don't forget, stay spooky.
And be
frightfully good.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of True Hauntings. If you like the show, give us a 5-star rating and leave a review. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening right now. For more on Anne and Renata, follow at Anne and Renata on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube, or visit their website, www.anneandrenata.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.